This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sevillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at sevilletomorrow.org. He joins me every week to keep us updated about growth and development issues, talk a little local politics here in Central Virginia. How are you, sir? Good to see you.
I'm doing great, Coy.
Any good pie recently?
I was offered some good pie today.
Today you were?
I was offered. I did not take some, but I'm tempted to go back.
Are you on a diet or something?
No.
Or were you had gum in your mouth?
I didn't have a good excuse.
You just didn't feel in a pie moment.
It was
moment.
Lunch with the family, and I felt like, you know, if I got pie, then everyone was going to get pie. And then I'd have to take a nap in the afternoon.
I had some pie recently, and I can't remember the name of it. It was from Arches. You know, you go to Arches Frozen Yogurt, and they have those little cooler reach-ins where you can just take a pie home. I don't know what was in it.
Good stuff?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's when your teeth just start screaming, sugar!
Well, the woman at Rapture said she had just baked this pie, and she used fresh local peaches, and it sounded wonderful. So if you're listening and you want to go try some of that pie, Rapture on the downtown mall is where I was offered the pie.
Good stuff. Brian, the Albemarle County office building last night was the scene of a major meeting. A lot of folks turned out regarding the fire and rescue issue, a little controversy, a little debate about how to move forward with this. Explain this to me. What is this about?
Coy, Charlottesville Tomorrow, as you know, we don't really cover the public safety beat that much, but we do cover the Board of Supervisors. And I was there last night observing, and the place was packed. It was a sea of uniforms and mostly, you know, volunteers in the fire rescue community. And it was all about an ordinance being proposed by the Board of Supervisors. They've worked on this for 2 years. And basically, as I understood it, it would put more organization in place to give more control over the fire chief in the county, more control for him over the volunteer organizations out in the field, right?
Okay.
There'd be more structure in place and more accountability.
A little bit more government oversight over the volunteer organization, that kind of thing.
Now,
I would imagine the volunteers are bristling at this idea.
I would not be the right person to go into the details of the whys or why nots, but you're right. The volunteers came forward and said they don't want this. They don't want, you know, local government involved in fire rescue volunteer work.
Because the volunteer group has a long history of this kind of thing, right?
You know, they said they're doing just, if it's not broke, don't fix it. We don't want this to send the message that, you know, you shouldn't be giving us, you know, dollars as donations. They're trying to raise money to keep their operations going. Dennis Rooker pointed out, as one of the supervisors, he said, you know what, we're already funding this heavily in Albemarle County.
So we're already giving tax dollars already go to support this volunteer group.
And there needs to be some accountability that goes along with it. And it's things like perhaps human resources policies. You know, if you wanted to make sure that all the people involved in fire rescue in the county were behaving a certain way, you want a policy in place. Well, how does that get passed on to an independent nonprofit volunteer group, right?
Yeah.
So this would have put some more structure in place. There's an appeal process, et cetera. Coy, it all ended in a 3-3 tie vote. And that means it doesn't go anywhere. The vote can't win on a 3-3 tie.
Was it conservatives versus non-conservatives?
No, it was a mix.
Really?
So you have voting against the new ordinance were Lindsay Dorier from Scottsville, Democrat, Ann Malik, Democrat, Whitehall, and Rodney Thomas, Republican from the Rio District. So those three were the people opposed. Now, that said, Ann Malik, the chair, said she was prepared to move some ordinance forward at a future meeting. She wanted some adjustments made to the language.
So she could be the tiebreaker vote at a future meeting.
I predict she will be. But unfortunately, what this means for the community is that we're going to have to do this all over again, right? They're going to have a work session where they hash out the language some more 2 years later that they've been working on this. And then we'll have another public hearing because, Coy, when you put an ordinance out for a public hearing, you can't change it then in the meeting where you're hearing from the public about it.
You got to put out another public hearing.
You'd have to re-advertise.
If you change it, right.
That's right. And so some supervisors, Dennis Rooker in particular, expressed some frustration. He said, you know, it would have been nice. This has been sitting out for 2 months. Would have been nice if you'd come to us and said, here's some proposed language, because then we could have advertised that, right?
Yeah.
But that didn't happen.
Interesting. We're talking with Brian Wheeler. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. There was also another vote last night, right, regarding the economic plan?
Actually, that happened last week.
Last week, okay.
And you and I wasn't on the show after it happened. So two things to point out, though. We had talked a lot about the Board of Supervisors and their Economic Development Action Plan, which they're now calling the Vitality Plan, Economic Vitality Plan. But I had predicted, and I never should have done it. You try to get me to predict things.
Of course I do.
And I think it was in June I predicted that it would be a unanimous vote on that plan, that enough water had gone under the bridge, enough, changing of the language, they got enough public feedback to really get to something that they could all agree on. And then in July, they decided not to vote on it, when I predicted they would. But they did vote unanimously last week to endorse this economic vitality plan. And, I'll repeat what I said before. I think that shows that, even our Board of Supervisors, different political backgrounds and beliefs about economic development, but they came together and said, we can say that we agree on these things as a way to channel our energy when it comes to telling people we are open for business. We want career ladder jobs in this community. We do want a certain amount of vitality. Economic vitality. Nobody who wants to be part of a community in downturn, right?
Right, right.
You want to be a part of a community.
Actually,
with
very
vitality.
Encouraging that over the last few months to see this in this way, that they sort of did what you would hope government folks would do, is have conversations, have some meetings, figure out a way to get on the same page and put something in place that can benefit the community.
Well, and much like the fire rescue agreement, I think we'll be able to say the same thing about this ordinance in the future, that they worked on it hard, meeting after meeting after meeting, but finally they do come around to something. A similar action was taken, Coy, on fees for zoning applications in front of Albemarle County. This was a conversation that started before the elections last November that changed the dynamic on the Board of Supervisors, and the county had not revised its fees in a comprehensive way in over two decades. And they gave an across-the-board increase back in 2002, but they hadn't done a comprehensive review of zoning fees. They did approve unanimously increases to the zoning fees for the first time in a while. And again, I think that's an example of where, initially some of the people in favor of economic development, the fiscal conservatives who got on the board in January, Dwayne Snow, Rodney Thomas, they were a little apprehensive about this. I mean, I covered a press conference that Dwayne Snow had in a house up in northern Albemarle where he said, I'm opposed to these fees, and here's why. At the end of the day, they were revised to the point everyone was able to support them.
So he did end up voting for them.
He did.
I thought that Rodney Thomas and Dwayne Snow ran on eliminating those fees and making it easier to move through the county bureaucracy when you're starting a new business and this kind of thing.
Not eliminating them. Their platform was this wasn't the time to change them. And we perhaps need to look at local government and make sure they were as efficient as possible, that you had a fee that matched the work being done.
Right.
Right.
Wasn't just some arbitrary moneymaker kind of thing.
But keep in mind, we've gone from talking about 100% cost recovery. That was the initial idea. How can Albemarle County get back the cost for the work that goes into a major rezoning? And what was approved last week was about a 35% cost recovery. So Albemarle County is still only getting 35 cents on the dollar for what it puts into the review of a major project.
So taxpayers have to make up the rest by paying the salaries of the people that do this work on staff.
That's what Dennis Rooker said. He said, quote, the cost of doing this is borne by somebody. Most of it's being paid for with property taxes today. So the average property tax owner.
We subsidize the work of folks who are trying to rezone property.
Right.
We're basically investing in their efforts to rezone their property, whether we agree or disagree with it or not.
Now, some major developments, in the defense of a major development that might get a rezoning, if it's mixed use, has some commercial activity, that can be a net gain to the county, right? Because you have commercial activity and you're getting those sales tax revenues into the system. If it's a purely residential development, that's a net loss to the county. And the quote there is always cows don't go to schools, but kids do. So if it's just undeveloped land, you have cows on it, you're not paying to educate those children.
I wonder how much taxpayer money went into staff time to support all the work that was done on Biscuit Run.
Well, that was hundreds.
We got nothing.
Well, it was hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't remember the exact amount, but I remember it was in that ballpark, to 300,000.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. And speaking of land and land use, You have an update on the land use revalidation program. First, what is this and what's the latest?
Well, land use is that tax subsidy, Coy, that if you have land that's used for agricultural purposes, you're growing crops, you're cutting the hay, or you have forest or you have open space, if you have land that's being used for that purpose and you're not using it to develop new property for houses, then you can get a tax break. And you don't get it on your house and its immediate surroundings. You still pay the full rate on real estate taxes. It's just for that open land.
Yeah.
And so the land use tax subsidy has been around quite a while in Albemarle County. It's not something they have to offer taxpayers. It's something the state has said you're enabled to offer this tax break if you want to. Now, that costs the county over $18 million a year in lost tax revenues. They're saying, let's put this out there as an incentive not to develop the property. We'll give people a tax break, and then we can maintain these things that we think are special about Albemarle County.
It's about the same money that is transferred to the city in the sharing agreement.
It is.
The revenue sharing agreement.
But over the years, people have been frustrated about this program. They've been skeptical that everyone's being honest. They may be enrolled in land use, but when was the last time anybody saw them, you know, cutting a tree or harvesting a crop on the property? And so there was an effort to put in what's called a revalidation program. Basically, a form would be sent out to each of the property owners in the program, and they would have to itemize out, what money they made off their property for agricultural purposes, for example. And that form was, another collaborative effort. The Farm Bureau and the local farmers were involved in making that form as simple as possible because they didn't want to put out this complex bureaucratic thing that everyone would just look at and go, oh, my God, and put it in the trash. And then suddenly they would find that they've been kicked out of the program.
Yeah.
Right? So what Albemarle County, though, has done, they've had this program in place now for the past year, and Albemarle's collected almost $1 million in rollback taxes from properties that they found should not be in the program. So they drop out of the program, and then they have to pay 5 years of back taxes. And Albemarle County's collected about $1 million.
Is that going into some kind of special fund?
That will, I assume, go into the general fund for Albemarle County.
So it'll just disappear into the general fund. And
well, what doesn't disappear?
It'd be nice if it would be nice though if a special fund was created for some special purpose that had something to do with land use.
Well,
see what I mean?
Well, and of course, the program that comes to mind is the ACE program, the Acquisition of Conservation Easements.
Yeah,
that's a program that in the last budget the county had to flatline and zero out.
And here's $1 million that could go right into that to buy land and really then keep it as rural instead of, you know, as we all know, some people use that program. It's been well documented, the land use program, to sort of leave the land in forestry until it's ready to sell to a developer.
Yep. And there will be some ongoing tax revenues that come in. And those are the types of things, Coy, that will go into the general fund and be expected every year. That's only about $350,000 additional to the county expected in the next budget because of this revalidation program. But I think that was another thing where people who had different ideas about land use came together and said, this is a sound process, it's fair, and let's put it in place and see what happens. The initial results seem pretty positive.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. Before we leave land use, I remember when we were talking about this and it was really controversial and everybody was, when they created the revalidation program, there was some research done that showed that the percentage of land in Albemarle County that was in land use that was not cows, corn, soybeans, or whatever, fruit, that was just woods, was like 70%. I mean, it's like, you know, 7 out of 10 acres in land use is just woods. Now, granted, people can have a forestry program, but I wonder if this revalidation program really looked in detail at the vast majority of the land that's in land use, which is just woods. Did people really have forestry programs lined up, or could they just check on the program? Sure, I got a forestry program. Yeah, I got one for you.
Would it make you feel better, Coy, if you knew that county officials were going to go visit each of these properties?
Yes, it would.
Well, I have good news for you. They are going to go visit these properties over the course of 2 years.
Yeah.
But there are about 5,000 properties in the county. And I think on the forestry side, you do have to have a forestry management plan.
Yeah.
You have to put it in some detail.
These are the trees I have. This is when they are mature. This is my program.
This is what I sold last year. Here's what I plan to sell next year or whatever.
You can't just keep the woods as woods.
I
Not that I'm not a fan of the program. I just think there's some abuse.
I believe your understanding is correct about the forestry piece, yes.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler, and you think there's some other interesting pots of revenue, ways that Albemarle County can make money at a time when we sure could use it?
Well, yeah, there have been a couple press releases coming out of the county office building that I think are interesting. Back to the emergency responders, the ambulance service, you may remember Albemarle County decided to implement an EMS, Emergency Medical Services Cost Recovery Program. And that's basically no additional cost to the people really being transported in an emergency. But guess what? Their insurance company is willing to pay for ambulance service. So basically, some of the rescue squads in Albemarle County are now doing this EMS cost recovery. Albemarle County announced they expect to get about $430,000 out of the insurance companies to be reimbursed for ambulance rides.
Is that going to go into a special fund that deals with EMS? You see how I think?
That one actually may. I remember some discussion about where that money was going
to
go.
To me, that's how you should be thinking. It just disappear into the general fund.
You're full of ideas today, Coy. So here's the next pot of money I found recently that was being talked about. You may remember back in 2008, I wrote a story for Charlottesville Tomorrow about this advertisement I saw on the Henrico County website. And the advertisement was this funny picture, and it said, "Keep your tax dollars in Henrico." And I remember coming on the show and saying, "Coy, what do you think that means?" And what it means is people in Henrico were accidentally paying the city of Richmond their sales tax dollars. So they were operating a business, and their mailing address says Richmond. And so they're sending the check to the city of Richmond instead of the county that they're sitting in, Henrico County.
Paying the wrong municipality.
Right. So back when I wrote this story, Albemarle County staff told me that in 2006, they found about $100,000 that were revenues that should have been collected in Albemarle that were paid to
Charlottesville.
City of Charlottesville.
Heard of them.
Their mailing address was Charlottesville. And people maybe don't know where the boundary is and which locality they're operating their business in.
They're just served by the Charlottesville Post Office.
That's true.
That's all it is.
So anyway, that was $100,000 in 2006. But guess what? Flash forward, Albemarle County put an auditor on this. They hired somebody to take a look at this, and they found $550,000 in misdirected sales tax allocations. And this business auditor position in Albemarle County staff has now paid for itself.
Yes,
and
indeed.
More.
Yes.
And so Albemarle County was celebrating that. But that was an old story that now has come back with new, bigger numbers.
So Albemarle County found $550,000 of its taxpayers that was accidentally sent to Charlottesville by mistake by people who live in Albemarle County and didn't realize it.
And there's certainly a little bit of money in the city that comes to the county accidentally as well. And Robert Walters in the county and Lee Richards in the city, this is an annual thing they have to keep track of.
They meet at some park and hand each other an envelope. Here you go, buddy.
I should try to get a picture of that. So both sides are trying to keep the ledgers clean and honest. I mean, nobody's trying to outsmart anybody here.
That money going to go into some kind of special pot?
You know, I don't know quite, but that now we're talking about
this is found money.
This money's adding up. We've got $1 million in land use. We got $430,000.
$2 million
in ambulance recovery. We've got $2 million there.
There you go. That's a lot of money.
It's good money,
indeed. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, SeavilleTomorrow.org, and we got a couple of minutes left. There's a vacancy on the City Planning Commission, or
there is. That's old news, but the new news is that there may be a second. The old news is Bill Emery resigned his position earlier this summer. The city is still taking applications, so if you're a city resident and have interest in being on the Charlottesville Planning Commission, they are appointed by Charlottesville City Council. The deadline is August 20th. And then the city council will do interviews in the last week of August and pick somebody.
There you go.
So that would be to fill Bill Emery's seat. But the chairman, Jason Pearson, announced earlier this week that he may be considering leaving the commission. Hasn't decided yet, but cited that he's uncertain whether he's going to have sufficient time to devote to the work of the commission.
Yeah.
And city council has extended indefinitely his term. That's something they can do beyond August 31st. And then they're going to wait and hear what he has to say and decide if they have a second seat.
Now, that City Planning Commission, County Planning Commission, these folks volunteer. They do a lot of work. I mean, I used to cover these meetings, and I was just always amazed at what they had to know just to make what you would think would be a simple decision involved quite a lot of meetings and quite a lot of work for a volunteer.
They do get a stipend. City planning commissioners, this was news to me. Sean Tubbs put this in our story, but $2,900 a year is their stipend for a city planning commissioner.
I.e. free. Stipend. That's money. I mean, that's almost $3,000, I guess, but a year.
Could cover your dry cleaning for going to meetings.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.